and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast for people curious about transit and transportation. I'm Jennifer, and today on our show, we've got a super fun episode, Cycle Tracks. I'm so excited that I managed to actually get three awesome people in the same room at the same time, which, believe me, did take a little bit of coordination. So I'm joined today by Cody Stokes from Oaks and Spokes, Trung Vo from the city of Raleigh, and Sig Hutchinson, Wake County Commissioner. And I just realized you guys all sat down in order for me, which is really super. So everybody say hello.
Hello.
Fantastic. Hey. So the reason I brought this group together is because I realized that there's been a lot of talk or work on three different cycle track projects in our fair city. And I mean, how cool is that? So today we're going to have each one of these fine people explain a project, and then we're going to have a general discussion about cycle tracks. So first up, we're going to start with you, Trung. If you'll talk about the city's project, let's talk terminology. We hear cycle track, we hear protected bike lane, and maybe some other terms. People for Bikes prefers protected bike lane, and the National Association of City Transportation Officials, say that three times fast, they prefer to go with cycle tracks. So can you offer some definitions, explain some differences?
Certainly, yeah. It can be really confusing. Another term you might hear, and which is my preferred term, is separated bike lanes. And they're all the same thing, but clearly each phrase, each term kind of evokes different emotions and feelings. So let's just get into what a separated bike lane is first. Separated bike lanes or cycle tracks or whatever you want to call them, the travel ways that are designed exclusively for bike travel. They're physically separated from general travel lanes and the sidewalk. And there are a couple of different types of separation. There are more and more innovative ideas for what those could be, but some of them will have planters or white flexible posts. Some of them will be curb separated. Some of them will actually even use parked vehicles. Or there might be a grass buffer or trees or anything like that. So from my perspective, there are pros and cons to each term. Like you mentioned, NACTO, the National Association of City Transportation Officials, they prefer cycle track. It's short, it's catchy, it's only two words. But unfortunately, the term might kind of carry a connotation of racing and can isolate people that don't necessarily feel like quote-unquote cyclists. So, for example, think about the image that comes to mind when you think about the word cyclist versus bicyclist versus person on a bike. What I will say is whatever you do, don't use the term biker. Bikers, I think, they ride Harley Davidsons, not bicycles.
Fair enough.
Protected bike lanes, they're a pretty popular term. Streets Blog and People for Bikes. Streets Blog is a national urban transportation news source, and People for Bikes are a national organization focused on advocacy and then making bicycling safer and better for everyone. They did a study, or they cited a study a couple of years ago when they were trying to decide what the best term would be, and they landed on protected because they felt like it conveyed a sense of safety for both bicyclists and drivers. Unfortunately, lots of engineers, including myself, shy away from that term, especially in official guidance documents, because it implies a guarantee of safety, which isn't always true. And then finally, and like I just mentioned, and for the time being, really, I might change my mind in some time, but I prefer to use separated bike lane because I think the key element of a separated bike lane or cycle track or protected bike lane is the separation between bicyclists and motorists and bicyclists and pedestrians. The Federal Highway Administration and Massachusetts DOT, they use the phrase separated bike lanes in their guidance documents, but really, whenever I'm among transportation nerds like this group, I'm okay with cycle track.
All right. Well, I probably can count our listeners as transportation nerds, let's be honest. So the city is working on building their first separated bike lane / cycle track, and that's going to go on Gorman Street. So can you tell us exactly where we're talking about?
Absolutely. And I'll actually call it a Gorman Street connector. The cycle track is a pretty significant part of it, but it's not the only part of it. It's actually the ends of it are actually shared use paths. So I'm just going to call it a connector, but it's on Gorman Street between Sullivan Drive and Hillsborough Street, but it might be a little bit easier to think about it as a connection between the Rocky Branch Trail on NC State's campus and Reedy Creek Trail at Meredith College. So the connector, it takes advantage of the extra width on Gorman Street to install a greenway-style connector cycle track on the west side of the street.
Right, and it's not too long, right?
It's not too long, but where it lacks in length, it makes up in for significance. That it's pretty short, but it's a really important connection. If you go out there today, you're going to see folks riding in the street because the travel lanes are pretty wide. But unfortunately, the width of the street encourages drivers to drive faster than they maybe should. And so then you'll see people riding bikes on the sidewalk, and the sidewalk just isn't wide enough to really accommodate both bicycles and pedestrians.
Yeah, it's definitely a spot that I could see that connector being needed. So, and you kind of answered the next question, which I had, which was why the city decided that's the place for this.
Yeah, so the backstory is in 2015, we received $1.1 million federal grants to install 27 miles of on-street bikeways. And it included everything from shared lane markings to buffered bike lanes to green bike lanes. And in some cases, we even installed climbing lanes. You'll see these on Glen Eden, where there is a bike lane in the uphill direction and shared lane markings in the downhill direction, where we couldn't sacrifice the on-street parking. And some of the higher profile projects included in that project were like Hillsborough Street, Salisbury Street, Wilmington Street, and downtown. Gorman Street from Kaplan Drive all the way to Hillsborough Street was also included, but we realized that there was this really great opportunity on Gorman Street between Sullivan Avenue and Hillsborough Street. So the federal funding was dedicated specifically to paint. We couldn't do anything that had some kind of physical separation, so we felt like we needed to pull that section of Gorman Street out of this federal grant project and then study it and implement it separately. And so looking at the street now, it's really a no-brainer. The width of the street right now is 41 feet, and there's a travel lane in each direction. So you're giving over 20 feet to both travel lanes. There's only one driveway on the west side to deal with, and it's closer to Hillsborough Street. And the connection is also part of the Art to Heart Corridor. The Art to Heart Corridor is a six-mile route that connects the heart of downtown, basically the convention center, all the way to the North Carolina Museum of Art. And right now, there's really only two on-street sections. Most of it is Greenway. Gorman Street, that connection is really important because having an uncomfortable section in a six-mile corridor is enough to discourage someone from actually using that route. And then finally, the section of Gorman Street, it's part of the East Coast Greenway. East Coast Greenway is envisioned to be this 3,000-mile long greenway that connects Maine to Florida. And it follows actually the Reed Creek Trail to Gorman Street to Rocky Branch Trail and into downtown, and then finally to the Little Rock Trail down to the Walnut Creek Trail. And so out of the 29 miles of East Coast Greenway that's in Raleigh, 26 miles of that route are off street, which is really, really great. So we're doing really good. So we're just really identifying the last couple of gaps, and Gorman Street is just a great example of how we're attempting to make it more comfortable for everyone.
Fantastic. You mentioned you were pulling this out of the other project. So, and the cost for this, just this connector, is $410,000. So
that's right.
How are you spending that money? What's the work being done to create this?
The major change itself is the major change to the street itself is the reallocation of travel space. So if you're looking from west to east, we're looking at a 11-foot two-way separated bike lane. There's a 3-foot concrete curb that separates the cycle track from the travel lanes, and then there's two 11-foot travel lanes. And then the 6-foot sidewalks are going to be maintained on both sides. You'll also see, if you look at the plans on the website, that 3-foot concrete median, it doesn't continue through the bridge because we didn't want to add a greater load on the bridge. So the separation on the bridge itself is going to be a striped area with white flexible posts. In addition to the cycle track, we're looking at crosswalk improvements at the north side and the south side at Sullivan Avenue and Hillsborough Street. And then, like I mentioned earlier on, The cycle track actually transitions, the cycle track and the sidewalk, they transition to 10-foot asphalt shared use paths at the ends. It kind of simplifies the crossings a little bit more. And then the final thing, it was kind of like a kind of a bonus. And it's hard to see in the plans itself if you did come to the public meeting or you saw them online. But there is going to be a cut in the concrete median on Faircloth at Clark Avenue. So today, if you run in Clark Avenue and you're trying to get to the Greenway on Meredith, for example, or you're trying to ride a bike on Clark Avenue and trying to get to the Greenway, you either travel south on the sidewalk and you cross that way, or you pull a U-ey where you're not really supposed to, or folks will just jump the curb, which I do not recommend. And so this is not going to be a formal crossing. We're probably not going to put up a sign or anything like that, but we're going to provide a cut in the median so that if you are trying to access Clark Avenue from the Greenway or vice versa, you can just ride through, provided that it's safe to do so.
Great. You mentioned, I think, the public hearing, which was in June, on this plan. So are there any other chances for the public to weigh in on this? And if so, when are those?
Yeah, so the public meeting took place on June 8th. We had a couple dozen people come and provide feedback. And then we also provided the plans on the city website and got some feedback that way. There won't be any more opportunities for public input, but we will provide notice of the construction timeline when that's available.
And speaking of, what's the timetable? So when are we going to actually get to ride on this thing?
Yeah, so the construction is probably going to start in February or so.
Okay.
And then the connector will likely be open in late spring, early summer. So with all this great stuff going on by that point, you could take a bike share from downtown Raleigh, check out the West Street Cycle Track pilot project, check out the Gorham Street connector, and then ride all the way to the Museum of Art.
Wow, fantastic. Well, and you just brought up the next project we're going to talk about, Oaks and Spokes. They're working on a community-funded cycle track project. Again, Oaks and Spokes, they're, if you are not familiar or missed that episode with them earlier this year, they're a local nonprofit whose mission is to support bicycling as a mode of transportation throughout Raleigh. So their plan is to put a cycle track or protected bike lane, however you want to call it, on West Street using what's called the Lighter, Quicker, Cheaper approach. That's LQC. The website photo basically shows, you know, this is people hacking it together to get it done with some paint and some simple buffers. And Cody here is going to tell us more about what LQC means and how it applies to this project.
Great. And thanks for the plug there, Trung. Appreciate that.
Of course.
So LQC is typically a community-led effort to deploy a temporary example that shows how public spaces can be modified to better suit an area. These deployments are typically serve as a proof of concept and allows for studies and more permanent installations in the future. And how that applies to the context of our cycle track is it's anticipated to be a 6-month pilot project. We're utilizing materials that can be easily laid down and then later in the future taken back up once the project is finished. So again, you have that short term. You have materials that can be put down, taken back up, and it can be set as if, you know, the project hadn't been there. But of course, we hope that it maintains a long standing in the city after the installation.
Yeah, so we're talking about West Street, like I said. How many blocks, and can you tell us exactly where?
Sure. So it's going to be 4 to 5 blocks. It's going to start at the Jones Street intersection, and it's going to connect the Glenwood South District to the Warehouse District, possibly stopping at either Hargett or Martin. Kind of depends on the construction around the Dillon at that time of the installation, but that's kind of what we're looking at there.
And what made Oaks and Spokes say, oh, this is the spot, this is where this thing needs to go?
So kind of a little back information on like how Oaks and Spokes came about this project is we have our 2017 strategic plan that included a Lighter, Quicker, Cheaper project. And in that, in the past, we've had success with doing the bicycle repair stations at the Marbles Museum and Anderson Point Park, as well as putting in that bicycle corral on Hargett Street in front of Raleigh Times. So this year we presented the idea of the cycle track project to the Raleigh's Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Commission. We had several discussions around that, and ultimately through that teamwork and those discussions, West Street was chosen as that corridor for its perceived ability to be a good demonstration project.
Okay. So you're working with the city on this, but the money, I understand, is going to come entirely on your own, and the goal is $20,000, is that right? So how's that going?
It's going well. So right now we've raised $7,000, and the majority of those donations have come from individuals, like a huge majority came from individuals. And we're also looking at donations that have come from small businesses. And right now, we are working on an outreach strategy for engaging businesses around the West Street corridor, as well as the just downtown in general. And the majority of these funds we're putting towards the purchasing of materials such as paint, road tape, delineators, any materials that we need to actually do the installation. And another thing we're also looking at is purchasing insurance for volunteers so they can actually do the installation of cycle track, which is definitely very important. We want to make sure that our volunteers doing the hard work are also protected. And along with just, you know, not just the monetary contributions, we're also looking at all the volunteer time and all the efforts put in by the city and those who will ultimately be doing the installation cycle track, as well as those who have already dedicated a lot of time into this project. So really, at the end of the day, you know, all these resources that we're pulling together are just the materials that collectively are going to make this cycle track happen.
Yeah, that's I'm super excited about that. I think it's really cool. And I'll be sure to link to the donation page in the show notes so people can contribute if they want. Timetable, when are we going to get this done?
Originally we were aiming for September. We were trying to do the installation around the bigger events that happen in Raleigh around that time. So like Hopscotch, looking at SparkCon, for example. But we hit some setbacks, and we're currently looking at an installation of spring of 2018. So be on the lookout for that. And that's where we are currently.
Okay. And you mentioned hopefully someday this might end up more permanent. How would we know if that happens?
That is a very good question. I think we'll have to wait and see. If that does come down the pipeline and we learn about that, we'll definitely be very excited to share that news. But until then, we'll just have to wait and see how the project evolves and go from there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Cody.
Thank you.
Last but not least, we've got an idea from Wake County Commissioner Sig Hutchinson, and it's a vision, really, to put a bikeway along I-40. This triangle bikeway, as I've heard it called, would allow cyclists to ride for about 5 miles between Trenton Road and West Raleigh near I-40's Wade Avenue split, and then they could continue all the way to Airport Boulevard in Northwest Morrisville. So, Sig, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what you hope to see?
Thanks, Jennifer. It's great to be with you. Yeah, this is the triangle bikeway. It's basically the concept to connect Raleigh to Morrisville and then RTP and ultimately to Durham. So it's going to be the fastest and quickest way to get there.
So what inspired that idea?
Well, so I've been at this for a long time. And for those who bike and have been trying to get to Durham from Raleigh or vice versa, we all know that there's a very circuitous route. And from a cycling perspective, you know, direct corridors are very important. So as we started thinking about looking at routes to make these connections, we were at a Triangle J meeting one day, and I said, well, why don't we just shoot straight up I-40? This is an idea that's been floated in years past, but it never did really get a lot of traction. As a county commissioner, people tend to listen to you a little more. So when I said, well, why don't we just see if we can get this done? Everyone said, well, this is a great idea. Why don't we try it? One of the things that really added some synergy to it is that we were undergoing a Greenway master plan. As many of our citizens may know, we've got about 200 miles of greenways right now, and the master plan that we're rolling out is going to add another 250 miles of greenways to Wake County. So since that plan was underway, and since that was in Wake County and I basically helped get that plan done, I then went back to my colleagues and the management and I said, could we add this project to the Greenway Master Plan? So we did, added a little bit more money and worked with a consultant to get that done. And then we could talk about how we made that transportation friendly, if you're interested in that.
Yeah. Well, let's back up a second. So you pitched it, you mentioned to the Triangle J Council of Governments subcommittee, that was February, if I got the timeline correct. So what are the next steps? Like, how do we make this a reality?
Sure. As I mentioned, the Greenway plan is in the Parks Department. And so as our transportation friends know, that's a different department. They have a whole different vocabulary and language that they speak than transportation folks. So we had to make it transportation friendly. So those in the transportation world know that there's an organization called the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, or our MPO, as it's known, which basically is a federally mandated organization that all states have that provide input to the NCDOT. And they're made up of transportation professionals and engineers. So as you move from a parks project to a transportation project, you have to make it, I'll call it, transportation friendly. So you have to build in language, and you have to think about it in terms of how it's designed from a transportation perspective. So I was able to get the parks folks to then coordinate with the transportation folks so that when it actually came out in the plan, it was suitable for funding. So now that that's done and or almost done, then there is some potential funding that we could get through NCDOT called LAP funding, which is available through our CAMPO partners, and you have to apply for that. It's underway.
Okay. So you'll have to apply for it. Are you looking to do that next couple of cycles? Or?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. We can break this down into phases. So, you might be able to go to Trenton Road to Harrison and Harrison to Aviation Center, like that. Aviation to Airport. So we can do this in phases. Actually, the time to apply for the LAP funding is August. So right. So when I finish this interview, I've got to actually go and find out where we are in the process.
Okay, fantastic. So, of course, there's always critics for every project. Some people are saying, why bother with this project? You know, it's going to be a long, hot ride. We were just talking earlier today about how muggy it is out there right now. Why would anyone ride this, they ask? What's your response to that?
Oh, I think it's going to be fantastic. I mean, we've got a lot of cyclists here in the Triangle and more coming every day. And, you know, when the citizens look at I-40 morning and afternoon and it looks like a parking lot, and the option would be going 15 to 17 miles an hour on a magnificent bikeway. So, you know, when your friends are stuck in traffic, you know, listening to the radio, you can be at home, you know, starting dinner, playing with the kids, and actually make your commute a little bit shorter than those folks riding in an automobile.
All right. You mentioned the term bikeway. We've been talking about terminology a little bit. So do you see a difference between bikeway versus cycle track? Can you explain that for people?
Yeah, Truong talks about the cycle track, and that tends to be the buffered bike lane, so it's separated from traffic. This is a completely separate corridor. So this would be outside the right-of-way for I-40. What I envision is 15 feet wide, okay, pretty much a straight line. So it would be more bike centric. So you could really get up to speed, you know, so it would be just kind of a bike thoroughfare, for all practical purposes. And, you know, so you could really, you know, do some fun stuff, you know, particularly with 5 miles long.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, you could, you know,
I thought I read there's going to be a speed limit though. Is that right?
I don't know about speed limit.
I don't ride fast enough to worry about that.
I think
but
your legs are going to be your speed limit. So, you know, if you get the legs, you know, have at it.
All right. Well, now that we've explained each of those projects, we're just going to have a quick general discussion about cycling and cycle tracks in Raleigh. And you guys, anybody can answer. Why is this so important, you know, for Raleigh to have some protected bike lanes, cycle tracks, and other options like that?
Well, I guess I'd like to jump into that real quick and say that at least for the context of those riding around downtown, it offers them that feeling of safety and security. So especially for those cases where you have those separated cycle tracks and they, you know, for new riders or people who aren't very confident at riding a bike, maybe they're new to living in a city and seeing all this traffic. I've met plenty of people who have voiced their concerns about avoiding getting on a bike just because they're concerned about the other drivers around them not paying attention or passing you and then cutting in front of you to make a turn, or riding, you know, too close to you. And those are a lot of times on streets that aren't very well marked for cyclists, and automobiles tend not to pay as much attention as they should. So I think having cycle tracks and having that separation between automobiles and your cyclists will provide more confidence to experienced and even new riders. So we definitely need to work to improve that so Raleigh becomes more of a bikeable area.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think it's amazing that we don't have any yet, but here we are and we're talking about multiple projects at once. So what? Why now? Why is this all coming together? It's just the time is right.
Good, Trump.
I'll say that I think there's kind of a renewed energy for deviating from auto-centric thinking, and frankly, if you want to you know, ask someone that's new to the city, that is maybe fresh out of college, they don't necessarily want to drive to work, and they don't want to necessarily have to drive to get to the grocery store. They want to be able to live, work, and play in a place where they can walk or bike to. And really, a lot of my conversations with folks that are nervous about bicycling, the biggest reason that they cite for not riding is because they're afraid of getting hit. That's just the reality. And it's stressful. It's really scary. And the traditional bike lane, which is 4 to 6 feet wide, and it's separated from the general travel lane by a 4-inch white stripe, there's nothing in that design that stops a driver from getting distracted and you know, merging into that bike lane. There's nothing that's going to stop a delivery truck from parking in that bike lane. There's nothing that's going to stop, if the bike lane is next to parking, on-street parking, nothing that's going to stop a driver from opening a door into that bike lane. And so there's all these really bad things that could happen to you as a bicyclist in just a traditional bike lane. Separated bike lanes, protected bike lanes, they provide a sense of security and comfort, just like Cody said, to someone that's newer to bicycling, that's a little bit more nervous. And really, the folks that are already comfortable riding in the street, we're not necessarily designing for them when we're thinking about separated bike lanes. They're already riding. They're already comfortable. We're designing for folks that are women, are minorities, families, the elderly, kids, and everyone in between.
Right. Yeah, so it's interesting how we've evolved over 20 years in thinking about bike transportation. When we started this 20 years ago, what the communities were really looking for is wide outside lanes, or just a wider road for people to ride on. And that's where, you know, you expert cyclists, which is basically all that were riding then, could ride. And then we evolved from that to a striped bike lane to provide a higher level of protection. But these buffered bike lanes or cycle tracks really get us to the next level of not only protection, but elevating cycling to a different demographic. So, you know, rather than experts or even intermediate riders, what we want are the folks who don't really ride, you know, the moms or the people who've never ridden before, who can actually get out and ride a bike, maybe for leisure or for transportation. And so if you start talking to them about what's of interest to you, then the safety is critically important. So the buffered bike lane is so important to really build a transportation system that is for all our citizens.
I'll just add to that too. It is all very timely because there is this relationship between low stress separated bikeways, bike facilities, and bike share. So if someone doesn't have their own bike, doesn't really care to have their own bike, but they just want to try bike share for the first time, they're probably going to be a newer bicyclist and might be a little bit more nervous, and they're going to be attracted to the greenways. They're going to be attracted to streets that don't have much traffic on them, that don't really have traffic traveling at high speeds on them. So that's why, especially with bike share coming to Raleigh, it's really important to consider having separated bike lanes that serve everybody.
Yeah, that's a great point. You guys are talking about getting more riders out there. Anecdotally, I feel like I am seeing a lot more people and a lot more like non-expert cycling wearing Lycra looking people out there on the roads, which makes me feel better because I'm one of those. Do you guys have any data or just some anecdotes that you feel like that's also true, or am I in the minority here?
So absolutely. And, you know, this kind of ties into one of the reasons that we, you know, we're building a bike network, and how we're doing that and why it's so successful is, you know, our greenway system. is just so easy and accessible. And with 200 miles of greenways, we just find people who've never cycled before or haven't cycled since they were kids actually getting out on the greenways and you know, loving it and buying bikes and doing more recreation, and then that moves into transportation. But then we start thinking about the cycle tracks and that level of infrastructure on roads, and we start thinking about the interconnectivity of the modes, so that your cycle track or a striped bike lane will then connect to a greenway so that you can really start moving around the city in a very, very viable, direct way. So all of this is building some type of infrastructure that attracts, you know, millennials like what you've got in the studio with Cody and Chung and you, Jennifer.
I think I'm on the border, actually.
But this is the type of community we want to create. It's a 21st century community. It's a vibrant community. It's a one where these folks want to come and live and start a business or be here and be available for these types of large companies to come and hire these folks. So this is all about creating the type of environment where people want to live.
Go ahead, Cody. Well, kind of riding on those coattails from Sig, like you had mentioned, how the infrastructure is improving. What I also observe downtown, being more of a social rider, is there are a lot more small businesses that are promoting cycling. So if you look at Benelux Cafe, they have a Tuesday ride. Crank Arm has a Wednesday ride. Oak and Dagger, they have a Thursday ride. There's also your first Thursday cruiser ride. There's a lot of these social rides that are popping up everywhere, and they're, you know, the more of these businesses that promote these rides, the more people that come out. And I tend to be a regular at the Crank Arm rides, and every week I go, I see more new faces showing up, people that say, I haven't ridden this bike in, you know, 5 years, and I just decided to, you know, I heard about it, I just wanted to come out and try it. So it's also that social aspect is bringing out a lot more people, especially newer riders and people who've just maybe moved to the city. And seeing that community grow and develop in a social sense, in a place where people can feel comfortable and there's no stress or pressure, everybody's just there to have a good time and have fun and then just enjoy a new social circle, I think really helps with the growth of our cycling community. And of course, the infrastructure improving makes people more aware, you know, being able to have that type of information out there and let the people know, hey, we got all this greenway, you should go check it out. Oh, that sounds like a great idea. We'd love to do that. And so we just keep building upon that social aspect. And I think we're going to you know, continue to see this upward trend of more cyclists in the city. And, you know, and I'm hopeful that it will continue on its path.
Yeah, I think the value of social rides can't be understated, because frankly, it's the exception when someone rides their bike for the first time to get to work or rides their bike for the first time to go get groceries. They're likely to pick up a bike because a friend says, hey, join me on this ride, or let's go ride on the greenway. Generally speaking, folks get comfortable riding bikes recreationally before they use bikes as transportation. Speaking of the data, sometimes traffic engineers, transportation planners, we think a lot about the decennial census. We think about the American Community Survey, which are annual surveys that the U.S. Census Bureau does every year between the censuses. And from 2010 to 2015, the percentage of people that have been biking to work has been around 0.5%. It's kind of stayed the same. And that amounts to about 1,100 people. But in that same time frame, our workforce has grown by about 26,000 people. And so there are more people riding bikes. Unfortunately, that data is really limited because it's just commute data. There's no how many people are riding bikes for fun, how many people are riding bikes for just to visit friends or whatnot. But we do know from Strava, for example. Strava is a bicycle trip and running trip mobile app. And in 2016, Strava reported that there were 6,000 unique users, bicyclist users in the Triangle, and they recorded almost 90,000 trips. And that certainly does not reflect everyone that has a bike or has ridden a bike. So, I would venture to say that number is much, much greater. So I would say that there are certainly more people riding bicycles because it's becoming safer. In a lot of ways, it's sometimes more convenient. I don't like to drive into downtown because I hate looking for parking. So I will always opt to ride a bike.
Well, thank you all so much. We're definitely running over our usual time slot. So let's. I'm going to wrap this up. I want to thank you again to Cody from Oaks and Spokes, Trung from the City of Raleigh, and Sig, the Wake County Commissioner. Listeners, again, you can learn more about all of these projects and get some other information on our website. That's inboundraleigh.com. And please also share your feedback. We want to hear your thoughts about protected bike lanes. We're at inboundraleigh@gmail.com. And again, our handle on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram is also inboundraleigh. So send us your general feedback or ideas for future episodes. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.